So today on the podcast, on the Battle Plan podcast, we'll talk about all of the things that the Battle Plan is about. My name is Neil Scoggins, and this is
Vince Blueball.
And we're so excited for you to be on this journey with the Battle Plan.
Yes, sir. So, Neil, our first episode.
The first one, man.
Our launching episode. If you're listening to this right now, stop, write down the date.
Yeah.
And the time so that you can say, I remember when it all began.
There you go. In your memory book.
Because we're going to be nationally syndicated.
Yes, we are. We already are nationally syndicated. We just don't realize. Other people don't know how nationally syndicated we are. Yeah. So there you go.
So listen, I asked Neil to put together this podcast. One of the things that we want to do for this is not just create another podcast because there's a million of them out there, but we wanted this to really be relatable to, number one, church planters.
Yeah.
And number two, even for those who attend a church or are part of a leadership that has helped launch a church out so that they understand more about church planting. And if you don't know who Neil is, Neil, introduce yourself. I mean, everybody in Arkansas knows Neil.
No, they don't.
Is there
know.
Anyone in this state that doesn't know who Neil Scoggins
there
is?
There are several law enforcement officers that don't know who I am. And that's probably a good thing. Neil Scogg, I'm originally from North Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay.
I have planted a couple of churches. I was part of a church planting team of a guy that planted. I didn't know what church planting was. This is the last church plant that I will ever plant. I didn't make that promise to my wife. I'm just saying that. That's all I'm saying.
Well, God's listening and he has a sense of humor.
Well, he does has a sense of humor. I'm a church planting strategist with the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, and that's pretty it. My wife and I have been married almost 20 years as we record this, and two boys at home that I'm trying to get out of home. One is 12 at this time, and one is 11. The 12-year-old will be 13, and the 12-year-old is doing stuff that I did when I was younger. And it's kind of blowing my mind because he's playing the saxophone. I played the saxophone. He's in drama, loves drama. And I did as well. And he struggles in math. And I do too. So
wow.
That's kind
I
of cool.
I know that's true because I see your expense reports.
Yeah, it takes me a little while. I'm glad we got a whole 30 days.
That's
Vince,
right.
Vince, tell us about you,
yeah,
man.
So Vince Blueball, originally from Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay.
And grew up in my formative years around Springfield, Branson.
Okay.
Married to Candy. We've been married this year. We'll be 34 years
Golly.
In November, and it's been the best 27 years of our lives.
Wow.
We have two.
Speaking of math.
Yeah. We have two boys. Well, there's a few years in there that are.
They're sketchy.
Kind of like a want to do over with them.
Yeah, there you go.
You don't get that, but. We have two sons, Samuel, who is 24, lives in Auburn, where his wife attends Auburn University in the pharmacy school, and she's going to be a compounding pharmacist, and he's a soccer coach at a high school, and just a good guy. And then Caleb, 14, at home.
Wow.
And he's a handful for me.
On his
I'm
way
56,
out.
And
it's different. Okay,
it's
you,
different.
You
man.
Think it's different for you with a 14-year-old? Think about an 11-year-old
yeah,
that knows everything. They know everything.
Yeah, we were lazy and waited till late to have babies. But Candy's a school teacher in Bryant, we attend Indian Springs Baptist Church.
That's cool, man.
And
how many churches, speaking of that, we're talking about Battle Plan podcast, talking about laying out a couple of things for not only sponsor churches, but also people that are thinking about spinning out church planters from the church. How many churches have you? Okay, here's the first question for you. How
okay.
many churches have you been, church plants have you planted, and how many church plants have you been a part of?
Okay, let me go in reverse on that. So
okay.
growing up, my dad was in insurance and we moved around a lot, and he got relocated to Minneapolis.
Okay. From Kansas City?
From Springfield, Missouri.
Okay, I got you.
And there at that time in the 70s. Okay.
Yeah, not too long ago.
Think Love Boat.
Yeah.
12.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the 70s, there weren't that many evangelical, mainline evangelical work there. Particularly in the Baptist world.
Right.
And so
right.
we helped plant As a kid in elementary school, we helped plant two different church plants. And so I remember church before them, but not as much as I remember. Like, my earliest church memories are the strongest ones I have are in church plants. In elementary schools in the Minneapolis area, setting up pipe and drapes, setting up chairs in the 70s.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, that right there, pipe and drape alone, is probably that's the craziest thing in the world to do. Well, I guess for me, picking it up and putting it together and then breaking it back down, hate it.
Yeah.
Hate it.
Well, and then when we moved back to Springfield, my dad got stationed, or I should say stationed. He wasn't in the military, but it felt like it. He got relocated back to Springfield in my high school years. We helped plant a church on the south side of Springfield. So growing up, I was in three different church plants. And then Candy and I have been a part of three.
Really?
Yeah, in our married life.
You mean like leading them or just
Well, we led one as the lead group, and then we were part of the lead team on two others.
Wow.
And so I mean, church planting is just, I'm a one-trick pony, boy.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's just,
that's all I know.
You are wild. So this first episode of the Battle Plan podcast, we're going to talk about a couple of things. And one of the things that I really felt like we needed to talk about was planning.
Mm-hmm.
Church plants live and die based on planning. You're a military guy, Air Force. And you and I get along because my dad was Air Force. Woo. And my dad did not recognize any other branch of the military.
I'm not that bad.
Yeah, well, he did not. And so he was like Air Force or nothing. But he believed in planning. He was a music guy, music minister for a while at a church, at a Methodist church. But he believed in planning. And so here are a couple of things that I think, and maybe you and I can kind of talk about a little bit as it relates to getting other people excited about church planting. Now, whether you're a church planter or you're thinking about church planting, or you have some people that you think are in your congregation or small group that think about church planting, we believe that there are a couple of principles that I just believe that we can kind of talk about. Based on our experiences as planters, here are some of the principles that we're just kind of going to lay down in battle plan.
Yeah.
The first one that you talk about is principle number one is prayer with James 1:5 in mind.
That's right.
Can you unpack that for just a little
bit? Yeah. So I think we're all guilty of this. We're guilty collectively, I know, because I've been in a lot of them. We'll have a meeting. We'll make our plans based on what we've read, what we know, what we've experienced, what we think. And then we'll stop and pray that God will bless that. And I think we have it way out of order.
Yeah.
I think the first thing we have to do, recognizing that God is asking us to do ministry, which is beyond us.
Right.
God rarely asks me to do something that I can do without Him. He asked me to do stuff that's beyond that. There comes an end to Vince, and it's not enough.
Yeah.
And so I think that's for all of us. And so I think the first thing we need to do is go to James 1:5, which says that if you need wisdom, you can come to me and ask for it, and I will give it to you in abundance without finding fault.
Yeah.
So God never breaks a promise. So he made a promise in that scripture. So I think we should respectfully and reverently hold him to it.
Yeah.
And say, Lord, we want to do more ministry. We think it may be in this area, but we come to you and ask for wisdom.
Yeah.
What do you want us to do? And out of that prayer time, then things will start coming.
Yeah.
And it's work. It's not like you do that in one day and then, oh, okay, I got the answer.
Yeah.
It's a repeated process of intimacy with you, with the Lord, being quiet, listening, and asking him for that wisdom. And then out of that, you can begin to start going into the next steps that we're going to talk about.
You know what? And kind of to go down a little bit, I hear stories all the time of people taking out a map and they'll say, hey, God told us this or God told us that. And we'll talk about, and he'll be on the podcast at some point, our friend Jamie Narramore. He's actually in
Queens.
Yeah. That's right. Queens, New York. And he and his wife thought that they were going to a Muslim country. They knew, they prayed about it, they thought they were going. But then as they continued to pray, God kind of shifted it a little bit. It shifted either the direction, not the people, but the place.
That's right.
And I don't think, and I may be throwing it out there, but it may be off and you correct me on it, but I don't think that we are legitimately following God if we're stuck in our first idea.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? 100%. If we're stuck with our first idea,
that's right.
We're eliminating prayer and praying with godly wisdom.
That's right.
Yeah.
100%. There's some things that, frankly, we don't need to pray about. Like, should we make this church gospel focused?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Scripture tells us that.
Yeah.
You know, what should we be preaching? We preach the Word of God.
The Word of God.
There are things like that. But there's so much about our community. For instance, we moved here from the Washington, D.C. area. Mm-hmm. I can't take what I knew about 8 years of helping plant churches in D.C.
Yeah.
And we helped start two there.
Okay.
And now I'm going to translate that to Central Arkansas or the Delta or even Northwest.
Yeah, yeah.
Two totally different
stripes
to their cultures and communities.
That's right.
But the basics that are in Scripture are there. But what I would have, if I was going to plant a church now in Arkansas, I would have to immediately get on my knees and go before the Lord and say, Lord, I've helped plant Missouri. I've helped plant in Northern Virginia, D.C. What now I'm here. What do I do?
Yeah.
And only God knows those things.
Yeah, that's true. There's a military phrase that I saw, and you're going to hear a lot of military phrases. You're going to hear a whole lot of football phrases in here.
That's right.
We're including everybody. I'll throw in some cheerleading phrases, too. That may be a little stereotypical, but I'll find some cheerleading phrases there. Ready? Okay, we'll throw that in. But here's another principle that I think that we need to kind of follow along with is, and you are teaching me this, and I'm trying to unpack it in my mind. No plan survives contact with the enemy.
Yeah. So when I was in the Air Force, and a lot of the guys who are out there who are in the military, guys and gals, and other people may have heard this, but your battle plan never survives intact first contact with the enemy.
Okay.
It's just there's always things that are out of your control that can change. There's so many variables. And so you do the best you can. Let me give you an example. When we planted a church one time, I looked at a community and thought I understood the needs of the community, and part of our strategy for ministry was based on what I call the perceived needs that I had.
Yeah.
Once we got there, we found out that those needs really weren't the true needs. It was a whole nother set.
Yeah.
So we had to back up, and we didn't change the core of what we were doing, which was to share the gospel, create disciples, but we did change some of the philosophy of how we were going to go about that by meeting a different set of needs than what we had anticipated. That's a small example, but you know, I was planting a church last week and we had a major in Louisiana and we had a major hurricane.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's an invariable you couldn't account for.
That's right.
That now is introduced into the life of your community. What do you do with that?
That's right. That's right. Friend of mine, Dave planted a church and had everything laid out. They were having prayer meetings, the whole deal. And they were getting ready to launch March of 2020.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, dude, the whole rug of what he had on paper was there, just kind of like, man, we can't do that. We got to do more virtual. We got to do all these other things. So those are the things that so first of all, one thing that we have to remember, principle number one is we have to pray with James 1:5 in mind. Another one is no plan survives contact with the enemy. Here's one, and I don't know how to say the phrase because we talked about it a little bit before we got in here, but I didn't write it out. So it is, in essence, and all of these have to do with leaving room for the Holy Spirit.
That's right, 100%.
I know we insinuate it, but we literally have to say it. Leave room for the Holy Spirit to enter everything that you are doing.
Yeah.
Every time that I have been a part of a church plant, every time I've started, you literally have to follow what the Holy Spirit is doing.
That's right.
I had ideas, even with this one, I had an idea of how I thought that we needed to do things in a certain order. I had the order down. Okay, first we do this, and then we do that, and then we talk to the school, and then we do, and none of this stuff, and it frustrated me, and I'm just going to be honest. I got frustrated, and I've done it before, but I got frustrated because I had the plan.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, then you get the question, okay, God, did I hear from you? The essence was still there. Yes, plant the church. Yes, plant in that context that you're in. But I'm going to lay out the order in which you want to pull the trigger 100%. Or initiate or launch or whatever.
That's right, man. I feel like what we probably wouldn't say we do this, but in reality we do. We ask God to join us in our plans.
Yeah.
Instead yeah. of saying, God, help me to join you in your plan.
Yeah.
And what you're doing. And yeah. it's okay to plan. We're going to talk about that in the yeah. life of this podcast, the importance of planning.
Yes.
You have to.
Yeah.
But if we're not careful, we make the plan an idol.
Yeah.
Of I'm going to stick to this plan no matter what because this is the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there needs to be some flexibility in that plan. Not the core issues.
Right.
God tells us what we're to do. Create
disciples. It's the word of God. Word of God.
Multiply,
yeah, that's
take
right.
the gospels to the end of the earth. So forth and so on. And he talks about the office of a pastor and of a deacon and of an elder.
Yeah,
and those,
yeah.
those things those are laid
are
out
solid.
In Scripture.
That's right.
We don't vary from that. But there's a whole array of things that we don't know how to involve law enforcement in our community that we have to depend on God to tell us, or
yeah.
the school district,
yeah.
or the Chamber of Commerce,
That's
or
right.
the Rotary Club,
That's
or
right.
the VFW. How
That's
do
right.
we use these things that are before us?
Yeah.
And especially if our communities encounter a shooting,
right?
A
right.
Tornado,
That's right.
Fire, something
or,
like that.
Or if a community is in some type of, and this may be the wrong word, but this is the only word I can think of, any level of gentrification. In other words, you have a group of people that they're moving out, or a group of people that are or whether it's white flight, black flight.
That's right.
Old flight, whatever, or older people are coming to a community. And then we start to think about, well, wait a minute, hold on, I got to change that a little bit. I heard this, and this kind of goes along with the listen to the Holy Spirit. I think it was... I don't know if it was Vance Pittman or not. Vance Pittman is the Sin Network, the president of Sin
yeah,
Network,
yeah.
which is part of the North American Mission Board. And they made a comment about go to the mayor or the city manager or an alder person in your area and say, what are your greatest needs? In
yeah.
other words, what's the greatest problem that this city or this area of the city is dealing with? And so I'm going to tell you what's crazy about this is that I actually did that, right? So I go to in the city of Little Rock, where our church plant is actually in Little Rock, Arkansas, went to, got the number, getting ready to send an email. And 2 days later, on the news, the city manager passed away.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, okay, God, what do I do?
Not to make light of it, but
yeah.
that's a variable.
That's a real thing. And I'm like, okay, so now the city is shifting on something else and not necessarily, I'm like, okay, what direction do I go? But in that process, I got to know some other people, got called to a luncheon. Now, it wasn't immediately, but
yeah.
got called to a luncheon. And at this luncheon, the mayor was there, and they laid out their top four or five things
yeah.
that they were concerned
yeah.
about. Now, here's the deal. Here's, and I guess this goes back to just submitting to the Holy Spirit. If I was not submitting to the Holy Spirit in that, I would have probably not gone to the luncheon, gotten frustrated because the city manager died, and now I'm still trying to make what I'm thinking in my mind work.
That's right.
Was at a totally different meeting, and they laid out child issues, like child care was one of the issues. Economics was another issue, and spiritual darkness. They laid out those things.
Yep, that's right.
And so, it lined up. And sometimes God has a way of allowing things to happen to validate or clarify. If you're going in the right direction.
That's right.
Those basic things are there. So I'm looking going, wait a minute. We're dealing with child care. We are dealing with spiritual darkness. We will deal with the economic pieces of it as we go along. And I'm talking about in my particular situation.
Yeah.
I just don't believe, and I don't know, I'm not trying to make it spooky, but I just don't believe that if I would have been thinking that way, that I would have been at the luncheon, God would have been able to
That's
speak
right.
and validate and kind of go in that
yeah.
direction.
Well, so. If I can say this,
yeah.
this really tried me when we went to Branson.
Okay.
I went on staff at First Baptist Branson, and I was there to eventually plant a church. They hired me to come be on staff. And growing up for me, first off, my family was Catholic, and then my dad got saved and we became Free Will Baptists.
Wow.
And, brother, when you said church, it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. yep, without yep. fail.
Yep, there you
like
go.
It automatic. Was written in stone. And I still kind of had that mentality as I was coming out of Midwestern in Kansas City and coming back to Branson. And, well, Branson, if you have been there, you know it's a tourist
yes.
industry.
Yeah. Mini Vegas.
You know, a lot of shows, yep. stuff like that. And if you're going to minister to people, a lot of times Sunday morning, Sunday night, they can't be there. And Wednesday night, they're working as waitresses. And you say, well, they shouldn't work on Sunday. It's easy to say that.
Yeah, but when you're living.
But they're trying to put beans on the table, and some of them are single parents. And
that's right.
So how are you going to minister to them? And you had to, I know it's a small thing. To us, it seems like a small thing. But I had to pray and ask the Lord, you got to help me know how to minister. Because if I were to ask them,
yeah,
they didn't know.
Right.
Matter of fact, when we were in D.C., the last thing we did, we were going door to door in a neighborhood, and we were asking them, hey, as the church, how can we serve you? You know what the answer we got? 68% of the time, I kept track.
What was it?
Leave.
Are you kidding me?
No. I said, how could we knock on a door and say, hey, we're conducting a survey. We're with this church.
Yeah.
And we're trying to renovate and rejuvenate and do some things.
Right.
How can we serve? Well, that's the best way we can serve the neighborhood. And almost 7 out of 10 said leave.
Like literally, like we don't want you here.
So how do you, so what do you do with that? How do you serve in a community where 7 out of 10 want you to leave?
Yeah.
Yeah. And boy, we had to go to prayer. And say, Lord, you got to help us.
God, so what? I mean, can we go down the road? We got some time. Can we go down the road? So when you hear that, so that's you, your initial launch team or pieces of your launch team. When you're hearing that and you go to what are you praying for? God, give us wisdom.
So first off, I had to pray, Lord, don't let me be angry.
Yeah. 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 That's good.
Because these people are lost.
Yeah.
Their view of the church can come from a lot of things.
That's
church
true.
Hurt, that's church true. Abuse.
That's true. That's
true. And they're not rejecting me personally. They're just rejecting this warped this idea that they have a church. So they've obviously, to me, they've not been exposed to what a church
life-giving
could be,
churches.
Should be,
yeah.
biblically.
Right.
And so what I had to do was just pray to the Lord for fertile ground.
Yeah.
Mm. That ground is concrete.
Golly.
So trying to till concrete is not going to work.
No.
So Lord, lead us to the fertile ground that we can begin tilling in and planting and turning that soil and letting you water it. And we may or may not see the harvest because one waters, one plants and God
and
provides
God
increase.
Yeah, there you go. You don't know how long your watering season
is. But not to ignore the concrete. Let them see what's happening. Still wave at them, smile at them.
Yeah.
Say, hey, good morning. You know, and just pray for them. And you can go down to the courthouse and find out who owns that property and who's living there, not in a creepy way.
Right, right.
So that you can begin, as you jog or walk or drive through the neighborhood, you pray for John and Mary over here. And,
yeah.
And in some cases, Bill and Bob over here.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And just begin to pray for them and then just pray through that. And God is so faithful that he... We think we do the work.
He does
the work, and he just invites us along with it. And so if we get out ahead of him, I've seen him, man. He'll stop and say, okay, have fun with that. Let me know how it works out.
Right. Do it without me if you want to.
And when,
this is my
when
stuff.
You come back, then we'll do it together.
Yeah.
And I'll brush off your bruised knees and your – and we'll do this together. And God, he just did stuff that only he can do.
How do you encourage, I mean, even in that, even in those seasons where you have to wait a little bit, how do you encourage your team, you know, or the team of people that you're with, whether it's family or whatever?
So here's what we're going to do on this podcast. We're going to strive for real talk. So right now I'm going to get into real talk.
Yeah, let's do that.
I would tell them, we're not planning a church for the following reasons. We are not planning this church so that they will come to church.
Gotcha. Okay.
We're not planning this church so that they will vote the way we think they should vote in the upcoming elections. Mm.
Okay.
We're not planting a church so they will stop that lifestyle.
Okay. Okay.
Now go with me on this.
I'm tracking.
We're planting a church, A, because God called us to do this and we're being obedient to him.
Okay. Okay.
We're also planning this church to share the gospel. We're not responsible for the response. We are not responsible for whether we're treated fairly or treated right.
Yeah.
we're here to spread the gospel. And I said, our job, there was an old monk that used to say this, and Jamie Nairnmore and I would remind each other of this. Our job, my job in my life, is to share the gospel, be forgotten, and die.
Wow. Wait, so say that one more time, because that's heavy. That's
our
heavy.
Role in life for all of us
yeah,
is
yeah.
to share the gospel, be forgotten, and die.
God.
So I would tell them, look, do I want them to change that lifestyle? 100%.
Yeah.
But if I address that over the gospel, I'm idolizing the lifestyle and not. It's Ooh. About the gospel. Once we share the gospel with them, God, if he calls them, they will respond in faith.
Yeah.
And through discipleship, it will take care of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the front end, if we're addressing that, we're rearranging it. If they change their lifestyle without being saved, all they've done is rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic because it's still sinking.
Yeah.
Now that looks more palatable to me.
Right.
Because yeah. I'm not awkward now.
Yeah.
But they didn't get to the root of it, which is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on him, confess him as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then be saved.
Yeah.
That was my thing.
Ooh, man.
And once you get into that, brother, then it really becomes in our focus, I'm doing this for the Lord, not for me, not for any other reason, not for the school district, not for lower crime in my community, yeah. not for this or that. I'm doing it because this is a command that God gave us.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's why we're doing it.
That, you know what? That's a hard word.
It is. It's hard.
And it's a hard reality to yeah. come to. Yeah. If you are walking toward church planting for any other reason than to obey God, then you're really, I mean, you're choosing a vocation.
Yeah.
I had a guy, when I was a youth pastor, this guy came to me. He said, I'm asking him, like, hey, what do you want to be? What, your life is changing. What do you want to be? He says, man, I think I want to do what you do. And I said, and I'm thinking, what does he think I do? Because I'm thinking, in his mind, I'm thinking that he's thinking counselor or whatever, because that's how we were kind of meeting. He says, yeah, I want to do what you do. You get to dress up on Sunday and, you know, you get to talk to people and get paid money. I said, well, first of all, I don't get paid a lot of money, number one. Number two, these suits are used, so it really doesn't matter. That's just dressing it up. I said, but here's the big thing. What I do is a calling, not a choosing. Because when you choose, that's a vocation.
That's right.
And you can retire, you can do other stuff. But when you are called, regardless of what, I said, dude, this is a calling.
That's right.
It's not like, hey, you know what? I want to be a plumber. No, you can't just wake up one day and do it, you know, yeah. or want to do it. You had that look on your face like you're gonna say something.
Well, but I tried plumbing once and after some marriage therapy and... Yeah, that's a calling, brother.
Yeah.
Who that an electrician, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, but it's a whole lot. Yeah,
you're but that's right. True. I mean, that's just it. And so I guess at this point we need to wrap up a little bit on our first
yeah,
session.
Yeah, that's it. So
let me just lay this, yeah. if I can. I yeah, know I'm yeah, going yeah. off a script a little
no,
bit.
No, you're good.
Our intent on this deal is to have real conversation about real stuff
yeah.
and do it with practitioners. And not be polished. You may hear us take a drink of coffee in the background, yeah, and we're not going to yeah. dub that out or nope. polish that up in nope. any way. We're going to have folks on here that talk about tax stuff,
yes.
and insurance stuff,
yeah.
and financial planning.
Yeah,
we're going to have real people on here talking about mental health.
Yes, sir.
We're going to be talking about spiritual warfare. If you want stuff that's in an Ed Stetzer book or a Vance Pittman book or a Tom Rainer book, go buy the book.
Go get that book. That's right. Yeah, we don't have to read it to
We're
you.
Not going
to
be chewing over that stuff, and I'm not making light of it. That right. stuff can be good, but we're going to just talk about real experiences with practitioners. Neil's a practitioner. He's planting a church right now. It's your second plant.
Yeah, yeah. Second real one.
And we don't have all the answers, but we're going to be talking to people and just be real. So.
Yeah.
Just we invite you to come along with us on this stuff. So yeah. anyway,
it's a nice little journey. To recap kind of a little bit, we have, so the principles that we kind of talked about a little bit today was principle number one. If you're going to plan, this goes beyond church planting. This goes with
Anything.
Everything in your life.
Anything.
Number one, you got to pray with James 1:5 in mind. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. I like the part that there's a translation that says, who gives generously and doesn't hold anything back.
That's right.
And he doesn't judge me or choose me based on what I think I have or what I don't have. He just kind of lays it out. So if you're going to do anything, number one, pray with James 1:5 in mind. Number two, principle number two that we talked about is no plan survives contact with the enemy. In other words, you got to be able to modify and adjust. What's the phrase in the military? Monitor and adjust?
Yep, monitor and adjust.
Monitor and adjust. Those are the things. And then the third principle that we talked about was leave room for the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Don't overplan to the point where you squeeze out the Holy Spirit. Like we say, a lot of people say over and over again, it's an old phrase, an old saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. It's saying in life and a true saying in church planning.
100%.
Yeah. We also know as leaders, all of us are looking everywhere to find resources to help us be better leaders and church planters. One of the resources that you talked about, Ed Stetzer, and I mentioned it yesterday, it's an old book, but it's a resource that you can kind of pick up and you can read. And we're talking about those because we won't dig into those books here, but it will give you those resources because we want this podcast not only to be a resource, but to point to other resources as well.
Yeah.
So Planting Missional Churches by Ed Stetzer, pretty good book. I had it in seminary, and it kind of changed me a little bit on how you do what you do. I don't want to put you on the spot, Vince, about I wish this was video because Vince is looking down going, please don't come to me with a book. Yeah,
there's so many of them.
Yeah.
I just was reminded, I went to a church planning conference, an international one that the IMB put on, and there were some guys there from Vietnam.
Ooh,
and they encountered some real stuff, and we were all talking about our books that we like, and I was throwing out, you know, this book, and this guy was throwing out this other one, and da-da-da, and it comes around to this guy, I think his American name was Matt.
I don't know what his Vietnamese name was. Yeah, yeah.
And they said, what book do you like? And he said, Acts.
Wow.
And we were all like, what? And he said, yeah, the Acts. Book Acts. Dude. And then he goes, sometimes John and Mark. And
he was for real.
And he was serious. And I thought, boy, now listen, these books are great that we're talking about.
They're tools
that God gives us.
They are, yeah.
But nothing beats God's word. And when you see what the early church went through and how, you know, they started the church in, you know, Thessalonica and Ephesus and all this stuff, it's rich. I guess for me would be there's a great book, not written particularly about church planning, but Jeff Orge did it, called Is God Calling Me?
Yeah.
And it's an easy read. It's real thin, but it's very powerful because it gets to calling. Like, this isn't a career decision. No ministry. It's youth ministry, children's ministry, going with IMB, whatever.
Yeah.
Church planning is no different. Is God calling me?
Jeff Orge.
You don't get that settled, then everything else is moot.
That's true. Man, that's...
And then Thresholds.
Church planning Thresholds by Clint Clifton. Yeah, those are, man, three good resources there. They will be in the show notes. If you have a resource that you've used that has been a help to you, share it with us. We want you to know. We want to know what you're picking up. We have two email addresses. My email address, Neil Scoggins, is nscoggins, S-C-O-G-G-I-N-S, at absc.org. Or Vince Blueball, his email address is V as in victory, Blueball, let me spell it, B-L-U-B-A-U-G-H. Did I spell it right? At absc.org. These resources and email addresses will also be in our show notes. You know what? That's all the time we have this time for the Battle Plan Podcast. It's our prayer that the content and the context of this podcast is a blessing to you, regardless of where you are on your church planting or multiplication journey. Again, for show notes and contact information, nscoggins@absc.org or vblueball@absc.org. Make sure you like, rate, download, and share this podcast with your friends. We'll see you next time on the Battle Plan Podcast.